Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Chanting Local 1-2, members of Local 1-2 of the Utility Workers of America, chanting this morning outside of Con Ed headquarters near Union Square in Manhattan. Despite the heat wave, Con Ed locked out 8,000 union workers and is trying to run the power grid with only management replacing them at the controls. Joining us with the latest on the labor dispute is Aaron Durkin, staff reporter at the Daily News. Aaron, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First, bring us up to speed on where the negotiations are. I understand talks were still ongoing early yesterday morning, although the contract had expired just after midnight on Saturday night.
That's correct. The contract expired just after midnight. Talks continued for a while, but they broke down early Sunday morning. There's a little bit of he said, she said about what actually happened. The union says that they were willing to continue to keep working without a contract, and Con Ed essentially kicked them out of the room. Con Ed says they were willing to extend the contract for 2 weeks, but they wanted to guarantee that they would have 7 days' notice if the union was going to go on strike. The union was unwilling to do that, so Con Ed went ahead and locked out the workers early in the morning.
So this is a high-stakes time to do this. It's the heat. It's the threat of summer storms that could bring power down, as they did in the mid-Atlantic states following the storm on Friday night. As we're still talking about in journalism all over the mid-Atlantic, what's the worst-case scenario weather-wise for this week?
Well, the worst-case scenario is that the power grid isn't able to handle the heat wave and that Con Ed's managers aren't able to handle maintaining the power grid. The union is warning that that's a real possibility. They say that these managers don't have the kind of experience that their frontline workers have, and, of course, there are fewer of them. Con Ed is saying that that's not a real fear and that they think that their guys they have in now can handle it.
Do you know how many managers there are subbing for 8,000 locked-out workers?
About 5,000.
That's a lot of management.
That is a lot of management. Con Ed says that about half of those people are former union workers who have risen through the ranks, but they're also calling back some retirees. They're also bringing in some people whose functions are generally more administrative. So union workers are warning that these folks are not capable of kind of doing the dangerous high-stakes work that the union workers do on a daily basis.
Or another way to put it, I saw in the Daily News story, a union spokesman said, these guys don't know how to go down into flaming manholes.
Exactly. And he said, you know, imagine a 70-year-old retired manager trying to climb up a pole that's on fire. That's the nightmare scenario they're warning about.
The governor and the mayor have confirmed that they're monitoring the situation and are in contact with Con Ed. Is there anything they can do to get both sides to agree to a new contract or at least agree to some kind of extension that keeps the workers on the job?
Well, they don't have any power to force that to happen, but of course they can apply pressure both to Con Ed and the union to say, wait a minute, you know, you provide the electricity for our city, you need to work this out. And I think they are attempting to do that, but I don't believe they have any statutory power to compel them.
So who has the ball in their court at the moment after the he said, she said versions of events that you were giving me before?
Well, unfortunately, that is also a bit of a he said, she said situation. As we heard earlier, the union workers are out there picketing, but they say they're willing to go back to work as soon as Con Ed will take them. Meanwhile, I just spoke to a Con Ed spokesman who said that they're just waiting for the union to come back to the table. So no one can seem to agree on who refuses to resolve this situation.
Listeners, any questions for our guest from the Daily News, Aaron Durkin, who's covering the Con Ed lockout, 212-433. WNYC, if you're listening on the picket line, you can call us up. If you're listening in the suites at the Union Square Con Ed headquarters, you can call us up from Irving Place, 212-433-WNYC, or any plain old person out there sweltering in your apartment, hoping the air conditioning doesn't go out, 212-433-9692. And here is Yana in Brooklyn. Yana, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
So
I just want to say that my mother, for instance, one of the managers who's taking over the jobs of one of the picketers.
Uh-huh, your mom,
and,
huh?
Yes, my mom taking over, helping the drivers out there. And she actually told me that apparently the managers are getting a lot of training to take over the job, so it shouldn't be seen as like these people just don't even know what they're doing out there today.
And you're confident that, can your mom, as the union spokesman put it, effectively go down into a flaming manhole or deal with a transformer fire on top of a pole?
I do think that those people actually did get the appropriate training, but my mom is actually safe just doing runs with a driver today.
Okay, Anna, thank you for checking in on that.
I appreciate it
a lot. So, Aaron, is it a stroke of luck or genius or good bargaining on the union's part that their contract with Con Ed expires on June 30th, just as the summer heat is beginning?
Well, it is certainly a remarkable coincidence that sets up things to, be a high-stakes situation, gives them a little bit of leverage, I suppose, although Con Ed, of course, surprisingly to some, did not hesitate to send them home when they didn't get what they wanted at the bargaining table. So if they were hoping that the heat wave would keep them on the job, at least for now, they were not successful in that.
There is at least some precedent. There was a strike in the summer of 1983. That lasted 9 weeks. What happened during that strike?
Well, during that strike, as you said, that stretched on for quite some time, and there was one major outage that occurred during that time, I believe. Ultimately, the union at that point was pushing for, a wage increase and better benefits, but it took, a great part of the summer for that to be resolved.
And because there were some incidents, a broken water main, I think, shorted power lines, Macy's switched to emergency generators was something that had to take place. It took 3 days to restore power. At the time, there were 16,000 workers from Local 1-2 out on strike. Now there are 8,500 being locked out. So does history tell us that if something happens during a labor dispute involving Con Ed workers being off the job, that they wind up with a better contract?
That's certainly what they're hoping. It's unclear whether a major incident will occur. Yesterday, there were a few spotty outages. Up in the Bronx, there were just a handful of homes that were out, and they actually said that the managers seemed to be taking care of the situation just fine. There was a larger outage in Queens with about 650 homes that were out, and those were out for most of the day, but ultimately they were also resolved.
Thomas in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, I was calling with a question about maybe a little bit off topic, but it had to do with your last segment, too, about what the city is doing to reduce that outage, the power usage of, like, businesses or all around the city. It seems like in Manhattan, you have these, we talk about it every summer, but these businesses with their doors open pumping the AC, and, it's always in the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, where the power goes out, and I'll take my comment or question off the air.
Thank you for your call. And, right, we've had a city official on here admonishing businesses not to do that. The fines went up, I think, a couple of years ago. Aaron, remind me if I'm wrong, for businesses that do that. And yet businesses do it because it draws customers in from the street. Is the city saying that right now, in this heat wave, it's more dangerous than usual for businesses to do that because you don't want to put the managers in the position if the power does go out?
I haven't heard that from the city, but Con Ed is urging people to conserve energy.
In general, because we've had a string of 90-degree days, right?
Yes, they do that often during heat waves.
And because of what's been known about what's taking place up and down the East Coast.
Yes, absolutely.
From Con Ed's perspective, what's the benefit of this lockout over just the possibility of a strike if the union was willing to stay on the job, just not foreclose their ability to go out on strike while negotiations continue?
No, I think that they were trying to kind of turn the tables on the union in a way that they would hope would give them the upper hand by actually sending everyone home. At the same time, they're saying that they wanted to be prepared for when a work stoppage was going to happen. So, at this point, apparently they've been preparing and they say they were prepared, whereas if a strike were to happen and take them by surprise, they might be in a position where they weren't prepared to deal with it.
Aaron Durkin, my guest from the Daily News, as we talk about the Con Ed lockout. 8,000-plus workers off the job, union workers, management trying to fill their shoes, even in this heat wave as they negotiate on a contract. Elio, oh, did we lose Elio? I was going to go to Elio in Kingston. Is he gone? All right. Let's see if he's there. Elio, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I really appreciate your show. I just had a question for the guest. I personally know somebody. I don't want to say names because I'm really close to these people, and I know that they're, in the battlefront, in the front line. I know some friends who are working as contractors helping out right now. And personally, I know somebody who was actually attacked yesterday. And I just really wish that both sides would understand that there's other people involved that have families, too, that don't have contracts, can't go on strike and get paid. And they have to cover their jobs and do what they're told to do. And I'm just hoping that maybe these guys can understand that and take it a little easier on these other guys instead of calling them scabs or skags or whatever the heck they call them. But my main question was I heard also that one of the biggest concerns with the union was that they were some union members were receiving almost $125,000 pensions after retiring, and the newer guys that are coming in are not getting any kind of pension. And I guess what it seems to me that it's what they're fighting for is for the old guys. I understand that they're also fighting for health care costs, but I wish they would also understand that it is more expensive to have health care. I mean, myself, I support a family with $36,000, a family of four. I don't have health care. I have to make ends meet somehow, you know?
Elio, we'll get an answer to your question in a second.
Sure.
What was the incident that you were describing? Can you tell us more?
I'd rather not, because it might just endanger my friend. And let's just say there's a lot of hostility to people that are coming in to help.
Thank you very much for your call. And Aaron, how can you answer his question about what's at stake, and are there any super poofy pensions that they're trying to take down in these negotiations, or what's the story?
Yeah, well, pensions are the main focus of the dispute, and what Con Ed wants to do is to switch from a more traditional pension plan, like you see with a lot of public workers and utility workers in this case, to something closer to a 401k type system, you know, with accounts and with more flexible benefits. The union is resisting that. Con Ed would also like them to contribute more to their health care with the union, which the union is resisting. And of course, there's also a question of wages. There are certain pay raises built into the contract, which Con Ed would like to curtail. And, of course, the union would like to get as big of a pay raise as possible.
It's really sad on the pensions, actually, because so much of America is losing pensions and being forced to switch to 401k-style plans for workers. If there's a situation currently where some people are able to get excessive pensions because they're able to pad with a lot of overtime in their last year of work, and then that becomes the basis for their pension or something like that. There are ways to take those things down to something more manageable without going all the way to a 401k. But I guess it's another example of how employers save a lot of money by having their workers contribute to 401ks rather than having pensions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, there is a middle ground, which perhaps in these negotiations they might find a way to reduce pension costs without, completely moving away from a fixed benefit system. But employers, you know, this isn't a unique story of employers trying to save some money on pensions and move away from the more traditional pension system.
We just have 30 seconds left, but do you think the two sides are as far apart as the fact of a lockout would indicate?
I think that they are. I haven't seen any signs of progress, at least in the past 24 hours. As you know, the union guys are out there on the picket lines at the headquarters right now, and Con Ed is saying that they've heard nothing from them and that there's been no progress. Both sides are saying that there's been no progress.
Well, the weather this week is supposed to be a little cooler than we've been having, upper 80s and maybe around 90 or low 90s, rather than the intense heat of the last few days. Maybe that will make the difference between power outage or no power outage, and hopefully there won't be a storm that comes and does to our area what it did to the D.C. area and further up the coast into Atlanta County in New Jersey, and that if something like that does happen, that these managers really are capable of handling it. But we will just have to hold our breath and see over the coming days. So Aaron Durkin, staff reporter at the Daily News, covering the lockout of the 8,000-plus Con Ed workers, thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Glenn Greenwald on elite immunity, why the rich and powerful aren't being brought to justice when they commit war crimes or illegally damage the financial system. Glenn Greenwald next.